Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. Yes, we have Lars Ling in the studio now, just coming in for the Nordic Impact Week in Silicon Valley.
Lars Ling on his annual migratory cycle.
Yes, thanks,
from the
Lars.
Northland to yes, Santa Cruz.
Yes, the Nordic Impact Week, we typically see you here. And you've helped bring together Nordics interested in Thai technology in the future.
And of course, we have always connected with you because you're such a green tech guy. And we
green
know
tech,
the future is an earth-loving technology of the future. Yeah. So.
Of course. Now, you're here now for Nordic Impact Week, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Thank you for having me again.
Well, you're most welcome. Good to catch up with you.
What is it now? Fourth time, something like that.
Mm. Yeah, 2014 maybe.
We started to talk about climate change and technologies from green solutions from Sweden and the Nordics.
Yeah. Now, how's it evolved for you? Is there still a focus on clean tech today, or has it gone more towards blockchain and crypto, or what?
Well, obviously that's the trend, what you see. But and climate change, everybody seems to be very concerned and talking about that we need action and we're running out of time. But interesting now, and something this time of Nordic Impact is that we have the future of education.
Yeah, understanding any of this stuff.
Climate change is a fact. We don't have to argue whether it's going to happen or not.
Just what to do about it.
What we need is human change with education.
Yeah, humans might not have created it, but humans might be able to make it better than what it is.
At least in small pockets of self-sovereignty and
We have that capability.
Taking care of each other.
We can fix climate tomorrow and poverty. As well, if we want to.
Yeah.
Question is why we're not doing it.
Yeah, why don't we want to?
We don't have to. Because we're arguing about who's to blame.
Easier than fixing a problem.
Because we're arguing about who to blame. Do we blame the humans or do we blame
Someone must be responsible, huh?
Somebody. Somebody's going to pay.
No, actually,
probably going to be the humans.
I think if you...
Whether that they did it or not.
I think the metaphor for what's going on is the same as the metaphor at some of our parties. When you are hosting some event and a whole bunch of people come, there's a percentage of people who are very aware and awake and very polite and very conscious of their own impact. So those are the kind of people who will come to the party and they will use one cup and maybe wash it when they're done, and they will look and see something that needs to be taken care of and they'll take care of it. You know, they'll just add good energy to the mix. But you still have maybe 80% of the people who don't know what good etiquette is. They don't know how to live harmoniously in a social environment. And so they will just leave their trash around and expect somebody else to pick it up. And they will not recognize that if they spill something, it's up to them to clean it up. You know, it's a consciousness thing. And so individuals.
That's why we're very proud this year, Nordic Impact Week. We have a college student startup here from Finland called Start North.
Mm-hmm. I'm real curious about how you are perceiving education at this point in time. We now have access to all the global databases at our fingertips, which in a school system that was designed before any of this was invented, where having an encyclopedia at home was a big deal. It certainly was when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we have, you know, everything. It's ridiculous, right? So how do you reframe education? How to search better or what?
Well, simply you start north.
Yeah. Start north.
What does that mean? We look to the north and then we'll have an example of what to do.
Does the north need a jump start or are they ahead of the curve?
Well, you're right, Alan. Yeah. Today, the university and education is based on the same 1600th century curriculum.
Where it was rare to have information.
they were very forward-looking in the 1600s,
weren't
they?
Now we have an abundance of information.
Look at these youngsters. It's college students, and they're coming here, the whole team, and we're a group of actually coaches and supporters. I'm an ambassador supporting them. So they're globally launching on Monday 22nd. So they had enough. They didn't believe that this existing system is good enough. So we need better learning.
Yeah, so let's look at that. What is a better learning system?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with Lars Ling from the Nordic Impact Week crew here at the front end visiting us in the studio today.
Better future with education. Coming right up.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking to Lars Ling, Nordic Impact Week, and the Nordics' impact on the future of education. Now, I was wondering about that because we have a system that's pretty much antiquated now. It was built before the internet. Kids didn't have access to global information at their fingertips. So we need a new model that takes advantage of today's tools. And what do you got in mind?
Something that you get practical study points and credits on practical daily life tasks.
You mean like how to clean up or
recycling is a recycling, really big test case whether people are living lightly on the earth or not.
You can maybe say this is like supply and demand, because it's actually, it started like a revolution in Finland in the mid-2000s when the economy and everything went down. Actually, students walked out of the universities and started this success they have now with education.
Yes, I heard, I think innovation. Michael Moore did a piece on Finnish schools in his last film.
Yeah.
Could you fill me in?
What's the unique about the Finnish education model?
It's structured.
Structured?
Structure. So the structure is different? In what way is it different? What is the structure?
Well, look, today you have different, there's a lot of, we were in with Start North in Singapore 2 weeks ago. Hmm. They were actually talking about getting rid of all kind of structures as well.
Getting rid of structures?
Getting rid of structures. And that's a kind of a combination where, how structured should it be? Because it's like when you are growing up and you're going to start first day in your school, now you're going to do logical things in a certain way.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I've seen the paradigms. Our system has played a lot with the paradigm. Yeah. I know when I was in school in California as a fifth grader, I was learning math like Venn diagrams, and we had flashcards to do numbers. But when I went out east to the East Coast of the United States, it was how many times tables can we do in 30 seconds? How fast can we do a multiplication? And it was much more structured. Yeah. Well, in California, it was more free of structure.
Well, maybe it's a combination as well today. Technology, obviously, and looking on the requirements from companies, they can't wait for a one-year program, education, curriculum to have a talent. Mm-hmm. It's the discrepancy you have today from the education systems to actually delivering to what society are requiring today.
Okay, so you're saying that the jobs are requiring people who don't exist, and the schools are not producing those non-existent people because they don't know what to do.
Touché.
And so we're going to get rid of the old structure, which is producing people with obsolete skills, and replace it with what? Nothing?
So what about real teachers? What do they do? I mean, if it's all going to go online, does that mean your teacher is on a screen?
But look what youngsters do today. They learn on video on YouTube.
Yeah,
so they're already learning from screens.
Yeah, they're learning already, and that's the new learning. And there are, from youngsters, saying this is spending time at the old universities.
So why not have live teachers on the screens too?
That's an idea of this Start North. It's education as a service, as a global platform.
Yeah, so the teachers are there for you wherever you are.
You learn how to be a radio host, and you get your credits.
Mm-hmm. You can have your little studio online and virtual world and practice.
That's the power today. Yeah. Anybody today can be an influencer and actually build an audience, and you can share and publish your story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it could also work with the old practice of trades. Remember, there used to be a teacher that would really know how to make glass or know how to make beer, and it was passed
apprenticeships.
On. Apprenticeships. Yeah. You could do that in virtual space if it still has value.
The key difference today with the thinking is obviously it's a process to develop, but they have backing from the Ministry of Education. Mm-hmm. And they are partnering with them, so you get your credits.
Mm-hmm.
So basically,
it's self-guided
more
education?
More practical education, and you would get your credits. So it's in an early state, so they are learning, and we're here. The Start North youngsters are here to invite and students from around the world to come on a summer course next summer in the Nordics.
Mm-hmm.
So they should go in each Nordic country and solve real problems for companies in teams and you're going to at that time earn your credits towards a future job. And look, today hackathons are good. You want to solve and pilot and prototype in 10, 24 hours or 10 days. A company want to know if they can fix something. And students get drinks and snacks and a tap on the back. But why shouldn't they earn credits when they do that as well? For they are providing value.
Yeah, work study. Bring education and work together in a collaborative environment.
Yeah. And coming to education, I've been in the last 12 years climate activist, and we have solutions technologies today that can solve the climate. There's not money, but it isn't happening. So I believe that education is necessary in this human change thing today. So education is really the next big thing out of the Nordics.
Yeah. Where would you like to go personally, Lars? What kind of role do you see yourself playing in the future here?
I would like to be sort of an activist ambassador to inspire more, particularly the first thing today, many young, amazing young students wants to do, create, and make real difference. And they want to be an entrepreneur. They want to make difference. So how do you get the best support for that? That's where really my focus is.
So how can people make a difference and ways of increasing their ability to make a difference?
Well, today you talk about meaning of life. Well, so what are you going to do when you wake up, right? You open your eyes.
Put your comb through your hair.
What's this meaning for individuals? And today, I've been an entrepreneur for 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's been in headwind. I don't have like an entrepreneurial family and so on. So then you have to go to the system. And the system today, it can be better and more supportive. So what I want to go is to create these future workplaces that support passionate people.
So you want to go to places who are passionate about doing things.
I want to create those future workplaces. So when you wake up in the morning, Alan, that's where you want to spend your day.
Yeah, like a maker space.
Maker, co-working, accelerator, startup hub.
Uh-huh. Be creative together, and it also pays the bills.
Well, it's not anyone can open a corporate office, but it's the intellectual capital. It's you and me, you know, the humans there who are the key.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think that Americans would perceive this at all as socialist in structure?
Rather the other side. They have done really thorough work, these StartNorth students. They have done pre-studies on the big markets, US and UK. And the finding is that when it's so important for young people here in the States, it's their life's biggest investment. So you're actually looking and they are calculating and how are they going to get that money back. But what if you didn't have that really demand and pressure on yourself? You would know that you would have more practical, because it's this old curriculum, institutional university model that still rules, particularly here. But the demands are there
for... Yeah, that's where all the money goes. Yeah.
Exactly. So what if we can do that in a better way where also... catch students earlier before universities?
Well, it seems to me like we could imbue the classrooms, the brick and mortar classrooms, with virtual reality capability so that the kids could be taught in a super class by a genius in a field and study directly with the knowledgeable people of the world. Everyone could.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. The students today, these youngsters, they say that we don't need professors, we need the coaches and mentors.
Yeah, and then help you explore your own little corner of the universe.
Simply someone to ask.
Yeah, someone to ask as you explore things.
Yeah.
Because we'll all have these tools of exploration that will begin to chip away at the infinity of the universe. We're still just on one planet, and we know it's really big universe, but our belief systems haven't quite caught up to the reality yet. What do we do with the trillion planets in our local galaxy alone? What do we do with this information? But, let's explore it. Let's see what we can do with it.
There's a second thing that I believe is really important, and that's how can we, for good use, use technology? Virtual reality,
to explore
for example.
More deeply.
You have done a lot. You're a virtual reality fan, right?
Oh, big time, yeah. It expands what I call the Zoom function of human consciousness. We can zoom in and out. We can look at the entire universe. We can look at a molecule.
So how would education use virtual reality?
They would give those tools available to kids, and knowing what age they are, they'd be able to adapt learning programs based on their capacities in real time. So we'll have real-time human AI tutors. that work to evolve each mind on an individual basis.
So you should be a coach, mentor on this for these youngsters, this platform.
I think every kid should have that. That would not be impossible. That would rise the tide for us all. I can see.
I'm sure they want to talk to you.
Good. All right. A little networking session here. It's a teamwork, you know? I mean, because we're talking about AI, we're talking about robotics, or we're talking about learning and how humans learn, what human cognition is. In classic university education, those are all separate buildings. Psychology department from linguistics and et cetera. It's like that. But we're talking about bringing it all together now. So it's a model where it's integrative.
You're bringing up the really key challenge with the old education. It's like containers, closed containers.
Well, it's good if you know how to then utilize that as information for you. If you know how to combine different disciplines with each other to create a team, a team approach. And I think for human education, I think you're right. That is a real teamwork thing to do. Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us.
Start North.
Yeah, thank you. This is Lars Ling. Start North. Nordic Impact Week next week. Where can they go? Find out more.
NordicImpactWeek.org. You will find program and everything you need and get tickets and ask questions as well.
NordicImpactWeek.org.
Exactly.
Okay, we are now back to Dr. Future Show. I am curious as to who else is coming to Nordic Impact Week, Lars. I remember going to one of your meetings where I met people in alternative energy systems. Is there anything that strikes you there in those arenas that are going to be here this year?
Yeah, there are. We have energy storage founders coming here.
Energy storage, because battery tech is so huge right now. It's so important.
Yeah, it's a couple of really interesting companies. We also have a company represent called Envigas that wants to take care of residual waste and actually get use of that from forestry and agritech.
Residual waste, new forms of recycling then?
Well, today, from forestry and agritech, you actually put it on the landfills and you don't do anything with it, and that's a real waste. So if you actually can, with pyrolysis technology, take care of that and reuse it to actually produce both energy and heat, and you also could use and do biochar. Mm. So you can actually use biochar as fertilizers and other things with it. And also we have impact investors, funds represented. There are social entrepreneurs, there are academia. We have a good mix of components, actors from the society.
Have you seen anything in hydrogen fuel power? Anything along those lines? I've heard of an engine that runs on salt water.
Exciting. I had a good discussion with Dick yesterday in Santa Barbara about hydrogen.
Really? Yeah. Hydrogen, yeah?
Yeah. Maybe not so much out of the Nordics, but hydrogen is certainly very interesting. We need all the alternatives that we can actually develop.
Any free energy information?
Well, that would be good, right?
Yeah, well, we do track these things occasionally. I hear some amazing tales. But yeah, I'm interested. Yeah. You know, cold fusion, you know?
Cold fusion things. That's really... they're all working on technologies, and definitely they're going to break through. But we're not using the sun, and we're also sitting. Sun, hey, sun.
Yeah, sun's over here. And she wanted to bring in another aspect of this.
Yeah,
like,
see.
A lot of these new technologies depend on money. Right?
Yeah,
and how much financing them.
And heard about it, money.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm wondering what the Nordics are doing about that. are you attracting any money with these ideas? Or
I actually saw that chart. It's a very good chart.
Yeah, okay, we're showing a chart that Mrs. Future just passed my way here on the world economy, the gross domestic product by country 2017. And it's a very beautiful little circular graphic showing every major country and how they contribute to the gross domestic product.
The idea of people like to talk about the global economic pie and different ways of whether you're fighting over the existing pie or making a bigger pie. And just this week from, I think, the World Bank data, yes, there's been a graphic showing the major players, basically every global economy, the individuals whose global economy is more than a quarter of a trillion dollars, and then all of the other economies lumped together. And it gives you a really interesting picture of who's cooperating in the world. And I just thought I'd show it to Lars, since he has been such an agent of Nordic cooperation with basically folks from the Scandinavian countries.
So we're bringing Scandinavia on this map. This is interesting. You look at the map and how much the global economy consists of money. United States, 19.39 T's. Mm-hmm. We're worth 19.39
T's. Which is 24.4% of the global economy. Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is that Russia and Canada are about the same. Mm-hmm. And that's 1.58 for Russia and 1.65 T's for Canada. Mm-hmm. One and a half to one and a half, basically, to American being 20 million.
Well, it's interesting to learn from facts and so on, but it's also how do you conduct these different surveys? How do you analyze?
This is World Bank data. This is an annual report of gross domestic product. If we look in the green countries here, which are considered, I guess, the European countries.
Germany, United Kingdom, France, Italy, Spain.
And we have Sweden, and we have Norway, and we have Switzerland, and we have Finland. And I guess those are the big Nordic Alliance countries, right?
0.4T, Norway.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And they're the big one.
Which is 0.5% of the global economy. Mm-hmm. So 1/40 of the global economy is in Norway.
Yeah, we have created this system. But are we coming to an end of this model? Do you believe in the
blockchain? I mean, is it an alternative to money that we've heard of? Is there
today,
a new Swedish economy that...
That said an article that you can look at my Facebook flow that blockchain is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. It's an interesting article.
Yeah, we were reading that.
Also, the powers that be would not want a competitive economic model dropped in place unless they were appeased to it, they were involved.
Yeah. Well, and your article reminded me of a sci-fi show that we had seen on something like Altered Carbon or Black Mirror, I forgot which one, but where the future of everything is so regulated by the blockchain that people have no freedom to do any transactions that are outside the blockchain, and it's dominated by a few centralized controllers. Mm-hmm. And in the sci-fi show that I saw, there was a woman who had run out of her allotment of blockchain and was not allowed to breathe because she didn't have enough air credits to continue living. So she died that day. Mm. That's kind of the scenario that is suggested your analysis of the future of blockchain.
I would like to be radical here. And obviously it was engineers, techies who came up with the name because it's blocks who forms a chain, right? But mm-hmm. blockchain, is that a good word? Can we have a better word? It's too negative, block and chain. Mm-hmm. Can we go beyond that?
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. Yeah, but it should reflect the idea behind block, which is a nerdy idea. A block was not used because it's square. You got to get to the higher meaning of block here. Mm. Incorporate that into the new word, and then we could have something more than chump change.
Well, I think the other point that this article made, which is a bit of a surprise to me, is that the U.S. government has classified crypto, the ICO initial coin offerings, they've classified those kinds of tokens as securities, and thus that means partial ownership in a company, which I think is arguable. If anything, what is represented by the transaction recorded in the blockchain is a sale of future products rather than an ownership share in the company. So I think it's not really accurate to think of it as a security. Anyway, the future of blockchain, I don't think is in any kind of danger, because I think that smart computers will continue to miniaturize the economy so that eventually every person is a center of their own economy. Their transactions will be managed by them with the help of these tools. And so the idea that we're going to have like a centralized currency government is not going to be relevant anymore. That'll be just one of the ways that money flows through the aggregated system. But the control of what is currency and what you're offering of value is going to be in the hands of the person, not in the hands of some dictator from on high.
So, decentralized control.
Yeah, you're right. Hopefully, we're going to own our data as well.
Mm. Yes and no. There'd be lots of data to be both bought and sold and be free.
Well, and back to ownership of data. data is pretty much created by somebody who tells the computer how to do something. So the person who wants to own it is going to have to be gifted it by the person who collected it. I think what you're talking about is the right to own your data. And in order to even have that right, you kind of have to know it exists, and you have to have some kind of negotiation with the person who has it.
Right? Yeah, well, you know, it's very interesting because one of our stories this week was about how some genome hackers show that no one's DNA is anonymous anymore, that even if you haven't had a DNA test, your data is available, believe it or not. It's a fascinating piece about how everything we know about privacy is rapidly becoming outdated. And the next generation has a very different idea of what privacy is, much like the previous generation and the previous generation before us. But it used to be people lived in communal houses with the animals, you know, not that long ago in human history. So communal living is no stranger to us. The fact that we moved to more of a nuclear family structure for a while makes sense because as we have the abundance, we're able to explore what kind of personal freedoms we like around us in our space.
And I agree. You also need to be aware of things. So that's your own self-leadership.
Now we're going to another level where we'll have, and once we have our individual needs and we understand what we like as individuals, we can create communities that respect those rights and have enough freedom and privacy for most people to be happy.
Yeah, happiness, I mean, that's an interesting, everybody wants to be happy, right?
I think so. Yeah. Pursuit of happiness, certainly that's our tradition.
Isn't that very simple? I mean, that's a mindset as well.
Yeah.
And you can decide here and now that we are the most happiest radio show in the world right now.
We could, yeah.
In this moment.
How happy are you?
On a scale?
You can't fake the
audience,
though.
You can't go higher.
Yeah, you tell them where you really feel now, Lars.
This is fantastic. I mean, this is, you have to embrace every single minute and opportunity when
you're right.
When
it's, you can stand awesome.
Up.
It's awesome. It's awesome. It's experience. Yeah. And if you're not in awe, you're missing it.
and that it's your own choice.
And the American and edition and how could it be even better? How could it be even better?
That's the guiding question there.
Would you like more love? More love? More money? More spiritual?
And once you answer that question, be careful what you wish for.
Because
this is a world where everybody's wishes affect and get merged with everybody else. So make sure your wishes include everybody else's wishes.
Yeah. Well, you're on air and it's all vibrations. So yes, be careful what you wish for.
Might as well be good. might as well be good as you can make.
My vote.
Oh boy. Okay, well, there we got a commercial break. We are a commercial radio station, so we're going to go to our sponsors and we'll be right back. This is the Dr. Future Show. We have Lars Lee in the studio, Nordic.
And if you have some comments on all of this feeling good stuff, after the break, 479-1080, questions for Lars Ling and the Dr. Future Show.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're in the studio with Lars Ling from Nordic Impact Week over in the Valley. And the final segment, let's really look at the Nordic vision of the future. We started with education. It sounds like a good basis. I can see that. What else is in the future? A lifestyle. How do you see everyone living? I've heard, for example, of a Nordic plan to have a 1,000-person...
Planned communities,
planned
cradle
communities
to cradle.
Drop in place, like Burning Man, only, real living communities.
Yeah, I'll remind you, because we discovered this concept. There was a grad student at one of your Nordic Impact events a few years ago, and the proposal was to situate in somewhere outside of Oslo, I believe, a planned community which would be based around creating high-tech jobs and a university and having ecological houses for the people who would live in this planned community.
Yeah, eco-villages.
So an eco-village that was cradle to cradle so that people could live their entire lives there and be educated and participate productively.
Have you seen any?
Oh, yeah. That's my mentor, Anders Nyquist, an 80-year young eco-architect. He built an eco-village 50 years ago.
A real one?
Yeah, a real one. And I mean, he was the one who opened my eyes for the environment and what I'm doing, because when I met him in 2006, he said, We have to stop build storage boxes for people, Lars. We have to start with the social vision. So that's where it all starts, and you come to the core, because we are the core of sustainability. We, the humans, you and me, we here, everybody. If we don't function and have livable social vision places, or we function as humans, nothing else matters. But there are many examples of what you're saying, and I believe who you met was also a company from here, Region Villages, James Ehrlich, Stanford, who think exactly, I think that's the example you're saying. Mm-hmm. And they are now accelerating in Holland, in Almere. Mm-hmm. And there are discussions in the Nordics, in Oslo as well.
Mm-hmm. But again, back to the question. So what is
the vision,
which we all would benefit from as humans? And what is your energy going towards?
Well, life extension, maybe? Do they have?
Now, if you look on the Nordic countries, I mean, we have been very fortunate, and we had a good run as a very highly developed and democratic
Good government then.
Societies. Now we have also challenges coming up. We have had election in Sweden. And right now, we actually don't have a government. They are not agreeing.
How does Sweden deal with the immigration issues going on right now?
Yeah, that's a hot topic, and it is the biggest challenge.
What's the hardest
Sweden.
Part for Swedes?
Well, we haven't actually dealt with immigration at all. This is also my very personal view on that, and that's the consequence we see now of what's happening in Sweden.
So what is happening?
Well, our system are dysfunctioning. First of all, if you're going to be able to function and get a job in society, you need to learn a language wherever you go. Every country is the last 20-25 years I'm going to, I had to learn how it works in those countries.
So the immigrants don't want to learn Swedish?
Well, there's flaws, I would say, in the system. And if we're going to talk practical things, why is it so? Look at how fortunate Sweden have been. 100 biggest, largest companies, IKEA, ABB, Volvo, Ericsson, still rakes in 70% of our GDP.
Yeah. Well, I'd say if they don't want to learn Swedish, they have to use Google Translate all the time.
If you're looking on to, we are actually helping in the best capability what we're doing, but today we are looking at our school system is challenging, our
culture.
Again, my view that we actually have had it too good, I think, and it has been possible to not really actually setting any demands.
Well, I say welcome to the melting pot, Sweden. America has been dealing with a lot of people from around the world. Long time, and we've kind of figured it out. You know, it can be done.
Yeah, I have an outside perspective, and it's like everybody else. If you're looking on, perception is reality for everyone wherever they are. But you need to go to other places to get those perspective and see the
differences. That's true. Yeah, see how it's being dealt with around the world. Because I think there have a book out in Belgium that's How to Solve All the World's Problems, and it's got solutions. The solutions by the thousands.
Well, if we're going to talk about practical things, it's a leadership thing, because I've been extremely curious of these questions, and we had challenges in Europe with Romanian beggars,
and
beggars, and in Sweden, and you should help and so on.
But we ran into them in France too. Yeah. They were masquerading as Syrians to collect money from people who felt sorry for the Syrians.
But let's look EU then.
Romas.
Is that model working good? Because Romania are 19 million people, and only 2016 to 2018, Romania got 34 billion euro from EU in one social program to just handle social system.
What does that mean to you?
If there are 19 million citizens in Romania, that means they wouldn't have to go and beg on streets all over Europe. Mm-hmm. That creates unhealth. It's the same with aid today. In 2015 in Paris, the climate meeting, I met with the African leaders, and they say, we have to find a better model than aid. It's not working, it's fueling corruption, and it's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So it creates an unhealthy relationship when you get dependent on someone, and it creates a certain behavior. So it's the same. Look at San Francisco, the epicenter of innovation and money and success, but still, we talked about it on the show last time, the homeless is growing. I had friends of my parents now who visited here first time. no preconcepts, well, any kind of preconditions what to expect. And the first thing they brought up when I said I'm going here to San Francisco was that, oh my God, in San Francisco, there was terrible. So that's
San
Francisco. Listen.
Oh, because all the homeless in San Francisco.
Yeah, they thought it was terrible.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? You have the richest people next to the poorest.
Why is it so?
Well, and you're saying this is just in San Francisco, and yet I think this is the case all over the world, and it's the most defining issue of our times is the idea of mass displacement. If you, instead of thinking of it as immigration, that's from the point of view of people who are in their homes, who have a functioning social structure, who deal with the edges of the society that aren't working, and suddenly those edges are filled with people who weren't born there, who aren't from there, who don't know or understand the culture, and yet who are also human beings with the human condition and needing some kind of assistance. So if we're living in a world where climate change displaces, say, 50-60% of the people of the world because their water isn't working anymore, or their rain isn't working anymore, or they're violated by war, and this displacement removes people from their traditional culture and roots and way of life and puts them out rootless to find out where they can go, where it still works. How does humanity handle that problem instead of it being just one culture and one group?
It's a big challenge, but if you're looking on the history on others as well, look at Sweden, for example. Mm-hmm. 1850 to 62, Sweden was the poorest country in Europe. Mm-hmm. We were immigrants. 1.5 million Swedes came here to the United States.
From when, 1850 to when?
1862 to 1850, Sweden was the poorest country in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
But 1862...
That's when my grandparents left, I think. Yeah, I think that's it. That's why they came to America.
Yeah. Yeah. And what happened was that three leaders, I can't remember their name, they decided to borrow money in Europe, three times Sweden's GDP at the time. Huh. And that's took us where Sweden are today with this welfare society.
Mm. Oh, so borrowing money... Being in debt was a mechanism 150 years, 200 years later to being a welfare society.
At that point, yes, but the society and industry and human evolution has sort of come to, from that point, it helped, yes.
Mm-hmm. But so now, from poverty to middle class,
yeah,
it was okay to have a financial system based on debt.
But look on other examples. Look at, I'm outside, I'm not from the United States. Look at the dialogue today. Oh, it's the immigrants who are the problem. And then I would say, why aren't someone bringing up that, well, there are no Americans, and I lived in Australia, there are no Australians. It's the Aboriginals and the indigenous people. United States of America is amazing. And should be awarded because that people from around the world, most people from Italy is here. Everybody side by side, diversity has built this continent.
We were a melting pot for a long time.
And, yeah, we've and taken so we, pride in that for a long
time. It's part of our understanding of what to do next is based on how we deal with ourselves and our neighbors.
It's also EU's payoff, unity in diversity. Mm-hmm. So have we forgot about that? Mm. That's the strength.
Well, when society is under pressure, that's when the boundaries get tested. Our humanity is something that's inside of every individual, and yet our society is something that's composed of all the individuals. So when push comes to shove, do you choose for yourself? Do you choose for one individual? Do you choose for just the people you know? Or do you choose something that is inclusive of everyone in the fairness?
Yes, in your last 15 seconds, what do you say?
Yeah, I would say that we're heading into a new renaissance and there's absolutely hope. And I would like to that we together convey a more positive, a new story together.
Yes, a new story of a new renaissance.
A new renaissance and the biggest business opportunity in mankind.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Lars Lynn.
The answer to how can it get better? It just got better. Thank you.
Okay.
Express part of the vision.
Thank you, Dr. Future and Mrs. Future, Alan and Sam. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on our show.